This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
That you are cool wherever you hail from and are listening to this show, because I know that many of you are dealing with triple digits. My name is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for tuning in. And some of you have the frustration of flying. I know this is the time of year where families try to squeeze in vacations. They take advantage of good deals because of the pandemic. I think a lot of people want to get out, wanted to figure out a way to make it affordable, and have done that. But unfortunately, they find themselves with their toddlers or their grandchildren or whoever they're with stuck in an airport. I was stuck in an airport in Columbus, Ohio for 8+ hours, so I feel you. I understand it. There were 2,600 flights that were canceled on Sunday, and there were 7,900 that were delayed across the United States, and the majority of it started in the Northeast because of the thunderstorms and the things that happened there, and then it kind of spread and trickled because planes come from one place and then go to another place from different hubs, and the slow-moving thunderstorms caused a lot of the delays. And what can you do with that? I was on Southwest. You know, today they sent me where I got home at like whatever it was, 2 a.m. They sent me a survey asking what they could do better. And I thought, boy, is everybody getting this survey? Because if they gave that survey to everybody on my plane, I don't think it would turn out so well. And then, of course, in the Northeast, because of that, you know, listen, with the thunderstorms, you had 56 million people under a flash flood watch. Heavy rain moved through on Sunday morning, and it caused people their lives. It was the flash flooding was off the charts in Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, and Bucks County. They're still looking for two young children. They haven't found them yet. They found the mother. It's just very, very sad where you had that phenomenon that we've seen now with the rain, where you get buckets of it that come down in streams so quickly, and it generates the roads falling apart and the floods and the creeks that are overflowing. On the brighter side, it was all about the jackpot, right? I mean, you can't help but fantasize. I guess somebody has to win. So 900 plus, it was actually up to $922 million, which would have been an incredible payout if you think about that. And nobody won the big prize, so it's going to balloon even higher. But I will give you the numbers, because I've been asked so many times by so many of you to say the numbers 5, 8, 9, 17, and 41 when it gets high. And the Powerball was 21. I happened to get two quick picks, and I got the Powerball, but none of the other numbers. So I got $16. There you go. That's lunch, right? Lunch and, I don't know, a cup of coffee and maybe something extra. But anyway, nobody won, so that kicks back up and means it'll be even higher, and more conversation about that. More conversation about it. Speaking of conversations, I can't help but do this, and it's, you know, I talked about the rain already, but the extreme heat is the common denominator. It's that old joke that I say, and you're sending me it, you're answering it. I gave mine for this show where I said it's so hot, asphalt has a liquid state, but it's really, really tough on people. They feel like they're getting hammered more than usual, or they're complaining more than usual, or they don't like their bills, or they're worried about what's going to happen. Is the grid going to hold up if everybody's really trying to cool off? And in Texas especially, that's the conversation. But it is, I'll tell you, Phoenix. Tucson, you're getting it too, but in Phoenix, you're getting a couple degrees more and really, really testing a lot of people. I have a lot of friends in Arizona, in Tucson, and of course, the friends listening to the show, and in Phoenix, and they're talking about what it's like that, you know, immediately getting up and instead of reaching for coffee, going for anything with electrolytes in it, just drenching themselves in it, doing that and realizing, okay, because this is what we're getting. You know, it could feel like it's 125 degrees. Phoenix has had more than 18 consecutive days of that triple digit stuff. But nearly a third of us in the country from Oregon to Texas under heat warnings. And some of the heat waves are just baking the West and the Southwest. And we keep talking about this high pressure dome of air that prevents the rain. It's wild because the people in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and those areas where they just now suffered through the extreme rain where they had the flash floods. Well, now it's the opposite, of course, in talking about the scorchers. You're not getting the... You're not getting the rain. It prevents the rain from reaching those areas below because of that dome. And Phoenix is right under the dome. So over the weekend, you know, 109, 115, 116 on Sunday. And I think people are sick of hearing about it, though. It's like, we just got to avoid it. That's like people are saying to me, my friends that live in Phoenix and even in Tucson, they're saying we're not even looking at the weather. We don't want to get psyched out. We don't want to hear. We know it's hot. We know it's hot, and we know we need to hydrate. We know we need to do all that. We know, you know, why would you stay out in the stuff if you don't have to stay out in it? Because that's, I mean, listen, that's the barometer. Why do that? Why put yourself in that situation? You know what? So I agree. Why put yourself in that situation? If you don't have to work in it and you don't have to venture out in it too much, then don't do it. Don't do it. And definitely, absolutely, you have to hydrate. You have to hydrate. All right, the other thing that's happening that affects us, as I jump around here a little bit in the beginning, is the Fed rate hikes. So we know that we're going to get one in July. Next week is the meeting. We'll know on Wednesday afternoon if it gets hiked. The Fed is expected to raise it for sure because there was a pause in June, if you remember, after 10 straight rate hikes. And to hold rates steady at a range of 5 to 5.25%, but what that impact is, it impacts, of course, we know this, credit, loans, it impacts the whole housing sector. If you're holding off on a house, which I think that's what's happening, a lot of people are holding off if they thought that they had enough or there was something they wanted or they were going to sell a house to get to, you know, downsize, to get to a smaller house or whatever. They're really looking at those numbers, and it makes sense because how you get pounded by it. And, you know, people say, well, you can always redo that, right? You can do it again. You can refinance, et cetera. But here's the thing. I think you don't bet on things that are, well, we can always do that, right? We can always do that. But then what happens when you can't do that and you're stuck with a high rate? You're not happy with that. So we'll know about the rate hike next Wednesday. We'll see what Chair Powell has to say late in the afternoon. And, of course, we'll have all that as we make those predictions. I shook the magic eight ball today and it said, ask again later. A 20-year-old tennis phenom wins at Wimbledon. What does it mean? It was pretty good tennis. We're talking about that in the man cave.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney, at Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Things happening in the world of sports, and always many of you will send me your thoughts on what's happening in the sports world too. So I'm going to start to weave some of that in as well, and we'll have some more quick hits with some people in the world of sports too. Especially we're getting closer to training camps when it comes to the NFL. There's no question that in the tennis world, and even people who don't know tennis very well know the story or have heard the story of this phenom, this Spanish 20-year-old Carlos Alcaraz, who has such a big personality. And I had the chance to meet him when I was in Miami, and he's great with media, he's great with people. He's got that attitude of I'm living the good life. I feel fortunate. I've been working on my game as a kid, and you know, so now he's number one male ranked tennis player, professional tennis player. He beat Novak Djokovic in the Wimbledon final, and it took 5 sets, and it was a thrilling 5-setter. As I was stuck in the airport, I and several of my new friends sitting around at the Chili's bar watched the tail end of it, and he won 6-4 in that final 5th set. So it's very exciting. He was incredibly excited, and the Joker, who had won 4 consecutive titles at Wimbledon and was looking for a 24th Grand Slam trophy overall, losing kind of overwhelmed him a little bit. He got a little teary-eyed, but he said nice things about him in accepting his trophy for coming in second. He said he's proven that he's the best player in the world, no doubt. So it's in the books. What's up next is the U.S. The U.S. Open, our Open, which is a really, really big deal and one of the majors in tennis. That's the big major coming up next. And so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of great things for some of the American players. I'm cheering them on. We saw several of them go pretty far in this Wimbledon tournament. And who knows, there could be a whole new generation to cheer for, which is, I think, a really, really cool thing. All right, the other thing that is interesting that's been happening is there's been all the speculation about franchise tags, and that's obviously big in the world of football when you're talking about the finances of it and the caps and everything else. So you had nobody tagged, no deals for some really big running backs. There's lots of conversation about on many sports shows, and sports fans know this who root for certain teams like Saquon Barkley. The Monday's deadline for the franchise players to agree to long-term contracts passed without deals for Saquon Barkley of the Giants, the Raiders' Josh Jacobs, the Cowboys' Tony Pollard. The three running backs were the only players who received the franchise tag not to have a long-term contract, and they had until 4 o'clock Eastern on Monday to get one, so now they have to play the 23 season on their franchise tenders, which means, because they have a monetary limit to that, which is worth $10 million for running backs. So Pollard for the Cowboys signed his, but Barkley and Jacobs didn't sign. They're unsigned, and they stayed away from their team's off-season programs. So you have, he's an incredible running back, Barkley for the Giants, tweeting out, because of course that's where so many people decide they're going to tell the world. He tweeted out, it is, do you love this saying, it is what it is. That's what he tweeted out. And because they're not signed, the two running backs can't be fined for not attending training camp, which, by the way, begins for veterans on both the Giants and Raiders on July 25th, which is next week. We're already in training camps. That is so crazy. Lots and lots of conversation about it. So we'll see. You know, Barkley wanted more money, but he said he felt like he was being billed as a greedy player the way that he was being discussed and didn't like it. So and we'll see. This is obviously a big deal as you get ready to go to training camp and having people sign versus having them just blowing in the wind and trying to figure out what's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen there. All right, Daniel Weinmann won at the final table in the World Series of Poker. You know what the prize was? It was $12.1 million. So he's making more. He got more than the running back will get, or the other running backs if they signed their tenders, what the average would get for the franchise tag. But anyway, $12.1 million in prize money. It's the largest payout ever. He beat out a loaded deck, get it, of players. You know how many players? Because it's still really popular. And you can play in the World Series of Poker. I played in the World Series of Poker. I was like out in three hands or whatever it was. But I did it, and it wasn't quite as big of a deal when I did it. But 10,043 players, the biggest in history. So Weinmann became the first American to win the tournament since 2018. How about that? It's fascinating to me. And for a while, I was, and if you've listened to this show for any time, because I've been doing it for 16 years, I went through a run, get it? I went through a run where I was all about learning about poker and playing with my friends. And I think there was a point where a lot of people were doing that, were playing Texas Hold'em, and it was so fun to do. It was really fun to learn and to play, and I watched a lot of the World Series of Poker, and it just, the whole game is fascinating to me. And I grew up in a family too where I had a great grandmother. Maybe you can relate to this. Some of you can relate to this, where I think either your family plays games or cards or they don't. And so my family, we did. My great grandmother, the whole thing, she was a good card player. And she told me, I will not let you play at the table until you know how to play correctly. And I had to learn how to play hearts correctly. And so I wanted to learn how to play hearts so I could get at that table and play hearts. And I think many of you can relate to that. Pinochle, spades, whatever the game was. And it really wasn't usually poker. It could be poker. Usually it was probably something else. All right, this is pretty wild. Shohei Ohtani, the king of the flip and the bat. It was what a matchup between the Angels and the Yankees. It ends up in 10, the Angels winning it 4-3. And you look at where the Yankees are. The Yankees have 50 wins. The Angels 46 and 48. That's their record. And we're at that point where now we're getting past the halfway of the season. And I think you go through the dog days because we're in that. But you start to get closer, and these series really, really are huge, and how they finish so big. It's like the Dodgers beating the Orioles. And that's because the Orioles are having a great season. A grand slam helped the Dodgers snap Baltimore's 8-game win streak in that win. And then you have the Guardians, and they're playing some pretty decent ball. They just completely shut down the Pirates. You know, 11-zip. 11-zip. So they end a skid. They end a 4-game skid. Then you have the rain situation that forced the suspension of the Giants. Reds with the game tied at 2. Oh, that's the worst. When you're at the ballpark and then it's a tie. Oh, the worst. The Rangers are a hot team, and so are the Rays. And that series has been interesting. So the Rangers beat the Rays 3-2, the final score there. Chapman got his first win since being traded to Texas. And that's a big deal because that was a tight, tight game. The Nationals beat the Cubbies 7-5, and the Tigers knocked off the Royals. The Red Sox blanked the A's 7-0, and the Twins and the Mariners were in a pretty tight game. The Mariners won that 7-6. So that's a wrap of Major League Baseball. To me, like I said, we get over the hump and it gets more exciting as we get down the stretch. Some of those teams that might be there in the end, you know, get those wild cards. All right, time to close. The doors of the man cave coming up. Two really interesting authors. Stay with us.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Tsunami alerts have been reduced in areas of Japan that were heavily affected by a significant 7.5 magnitude earthquake and subsequent powerful aftershocks. 4 deaths have been reported. The conflict between Israel and Hamas persists in the Gaza Strip. An Israeli forces spokesperson has indicated that military offensive in Gaza might extend through 2024 as their forces prepare for an extended period of combat. Tensions in the Middle East escalated over the weekend when U.S. helicopters engaged in gunfire with Iran-backed Houthi rebels in the Red Sea. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu remains firm in rejecting any calls for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Box office numbers are out for New Year's weekend, and the two movies from last week have traded places. Wonka came in first, taking in $24 million. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom came in second with $19.5 million. John Schaefer, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
And other supernatural tales of the sage. Brian Keith Day, the author, joins us here in Author's Corner here in America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And he has such an interesting background. And this book is fascinating because you can, it's one of those books where you get into the story and then you can move on to the next. And Brian and I had a great off-air conversation. And if we lived near each other, he'd be one of my favorite people for a couple of different reasons. Not just the writing, but making a living, installing and servicing heating and air conditioning equipment. I can't tell you how much I would need an insider on that. And so he's also an insider on people and all that knowledge that goes into what can pour out into any kind of a novel or any kind of a story. So, Brian, thanks for coming on.
You bet.
Tell me what it was that led you to writing this, to pulling this together.
Well, first off, it's an anthology of, I think, 4 short stories and a longer work novella, about 100 pages, called Red Horse. The Red Horse story was inspired by one of the many service calls I do in my line of work. Many years ago, I went into a house where there was an elderly couple. And this is Wyoming, and we're actually in Native American Central here. There's just across the border in Montana, there's a Crow Indian Reservation and a Northern Cheyenne Reservation. This is where the, right near where the Custer Battlefield and the Fetterman Massacre occurred. So this gentleman and this older couple had been collecting for many years Indian paraphernalia. He had war bonnets and panniards and the breastplates and many, many Indian artifacts that he had collected throughout his house. And, of course, this fascinated me while I was supposedly doing my job. And when I got done with my service call, I talked to him about all these artifacts, and he said, well, did you see the skulls? And I thought, skulls? What are you talking about? So he took me downstairs, and here on a shelf were two human skulls, quite old and weathered. And one of them had a bullet hole in the forehead, and, of course, the back of it blown out. And the other one was even more grisly. The whole top of the cranium had been not just scalped but totally removed, so it was more like a bowl. And I thought, wow. And, of course, now this is way before the days of political correctness, and he'd been collecting them forever. So he probably purchased or found these from people who were willing to part with them. So anyway, I said, having also noticed they were pretty religious people in the house, I said, do these skulls ever bother you that they're in this house? And he said, no, but I had one that I collected in pieces many years ago. And ever since I'd had that skull, it always seemed like someone was in the room watching me all the time. And ultimately, he gave it to a friend, and he asked the friend later on how he was getting along with that skull. And the friend said, you know, ever since I had that in my house, it seemed like somebody was always watching me. So I basically disposed of it somewheres along the line. So in my devious mind over time, I devised a story called Red Horse out of this experience. And it was going to be a short story, but it kept growing, so it ran about 100 pages. And the two skulls that this character has began to compete with each other for control of he and his wife. And I kind of like it. I think it reflects the area of Sheridan, Wyoming, and this area maybe a little more than the Longmire series does. I've met Craig Johnson. He's a neighbor in Wyoming. Is probably 50 or 60 miles away, so he's kind of a neighbor. But so that's where that one came from. The other stories have similar backgrounds of experiences I've had and so on.
And that, which is so great, that's why I said you could pick it up at any point, the four short stories, as you said, and the novella that you've written based on some of the things you saw. It's fascinating to hear about Red Horse. And we won't go into all of them, but this one also got me excited because I love the idea of haunted things. And you've got Good for the Gander, and you said that that kind of popped into your mind when you were traveling through this golf course, something local, and this development, this real estate area for people who had money. And then when the McMansions closed up, boom, that kind of triggered that in you. Was that fun to write? And tell us a little more about that story.
Well, this happened around 2008, the real estate crash. There is a golf resort development in this area. It probably has 27 holes of golf or more. Fairly well-to-do people build large houses around it. The real estate is sold through that whole development. And, of course, around 2007, 2008, I did a lot of work in there, and many of these places were closed up suddenly or for sale. So I'm driving around doing what few service calls I have in the area in a ghost town. And, again, in my fertile mind, I'm thinking, wow, this would be really neat if some of these were haunted at different times. You could have whole different settings. So that became the story, Good for the Gander. Golf courses generally attract Canadian geese to them in large numbers because of the waterworks, so that's where the gander reference comes from in that. My stories generally, modern stories seem to be more vignettes than character sketches often, and I'm old school. I think a story should have a beginning, a climax, and an ending. So most of my stories run 20 or 30 pages, and a person can probably read them in an evening, one at a time or whatever, and get the whole thing complete. In this modern hectic life we have now, perhaps that's better for some people than something that runs 300 pages.
Boy, isn't that true. And I like how you describe that, the modern hectic life that we have. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to us can relate to it. And I also like that, as you said, you're old school, and where you take us in the beginning, you give us that great beginning, the climax, and then, boom, we get the payoff at the end. You don't leave us hanging. I call it leaving people hanging, and you absolutely don't do that. So now, you know, you've written another book. You published a nonfiction book, too, called Wyoming Trivia. Was that fun to write that one as well?
That's kind of what really got me started. Now, that was with a full-scale publisher called Riverbend Publishing, and I don't know, 10 years or more ago. That was actually, that publishing company was bought out by Roman and Littlefield, I think it's pronounced, and so that gave me an experience in what it is to actually write something dictated to you by a publisher and editor, and then go through the whole process of getting the manuscript done, having it gone through, making corrections and proofs and so on, and then waiting for them to publish it.
Yeah, exactly.
They were actually supposed to publish it on 1 year, and they delayed it because they had some other project, and I had to wait another year. So that's learning by experience there. That was a little enlightening.
Yeah, different too, right? And coming up with trivia questions and trivia and what that's all about, and talking about Wyoming, and there's so much rich history there. I love that you mentioned Longmire, which was one of my favorite series and really made me want to go to Wyoming, and I think people can relate to that because of some of the beautiful country that you're in the middle of, and that would just spur on so many stories. And again, the name of the book, Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage. For you, was this really fun, Brian, to pull this all together, these stories?
Yes, I enjoyed it. A lot of those stories were published individually in like small actual anthologies and so on. There was one that was out of Canada called All Hallows. I don't think that's still in publication. And another one out of England called Supernatural Tales. They had a couple of those published in them. And some other ones were done in e-zines, e-magazines. And then I had written a Red Horse story, which was lengthy, and I'm going, geez, I've got 250 pages here. I think I'll write another one, which is where the story in there called Gold of Deadwood came to kind of fill that out. So I wanted to try the, for lack of a better term, vanity publishing a little bit, self-publishing. So I did that, published it, and got that experience, and now we're moving forward with it. So, yeah, I did enjoy putting them all together. It's kind of nice to have a book in your hand that's got your name on it and your stories in it.
Yeah, and as I said to you, I mean, a lot of people talk about doing it, but you actually did it. And you said it along the way, but what do you hope people take away that are listening to this interview? They pick up your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away from reading Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage?
Boy, I guess expanding their imagination. There's some things in there. The Red Horse story, which is more lengthy, there's a little bit in there where I get into a little bit of a philosophy, but not much. I try not to preach to people. But most of them, it's just a good old spook story, good old ghost story. Not a lot of terrible, grisly stuff going on in there, and not like a Stephen King book or something. But good stories, good old stories. I was a Ray Bradbury fan. In fact, one of the stories in there is related to Ray Bradbury's stories. And again, he's old school. You get a beginning, a climax, and an ending in there, and some kind of poignant food for thought, usually. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do, is follow in those old footsteps of good old solid stories that go somewhere.
There you go. Good storytelling. Brian Keith Day, what a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, and thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you very much.
Guys, why settle for poor quality powdery arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery arco super tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery arco super tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Douglas B. Sharp, his book, Dr. Hale's Home Remedy and Recipe Book. He's joining us here again on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight. We had such a great off-air conversation. It's really fascinating how this all came together. So, Doug, welcome to the program.
Hello.
How did this happen? Tell everybody what you told me. How did you decide you were going to put this book together?
Well, this book was found in a trunk of books that was taken to my grandmother's house from a lumber baron's house in Lewiston, Michigan, when she sold it in 1972. And I found it years later in her attic in this trunk. And there was a whole bunch of books dated from 1863 to about 1920. And one of them was original edition of Longfellow's Wayside Inn. But this was the doctor's personal handwritten handbook with dates in it from 1844 to 1863. And so, you know, when I after I discovered it, I, you know, I was really curious about it. And so it was always a plan of mine to publish this book. This gives a glimpse of Michigan history and the practice of medicine at that time.
And, yeah, what a treasure trove you get finding this and seeing all these handwritten things and going all the way back to 1844 and through 1863. So tell us what we'll find in the book. What kind of things will we see in the book?
So what you'll find is this is his personal recipes that he used to create his pills and his remedies for the various diseases that were at the time. And, you know, there were things like diphtheria and ague and a lot of cholera and a lot of things of that sort that we have pretty much eradicated today. But there was a lot of these remedies were really quite interesting. On the very first page of, you know, of the recipes, when the recipes start, there's a code at the bottom of the page, and it sort of corresponds to A through Z. And elsewhere in the book, he uses some of those that code to have his ingredients. And like the pill that he has for ague, for example, it was had quinine 10 grains, arsenic 5 grains, and opium 15 grains. So he put arsenic and opium in code. And, you know,
wow.
I found a very thing of all these different things. So if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you feel good.
Yes, no kidding. Boy, I could have just sat there for hours with you going through this. Just incredible. And now it's available in this book, and it's just a slice of history. Imagine being a doctor during those years in Michigan, like you said. And that's not the whole story here. Who is Dr. Hale related to?
Well, wasn't related to any of us, and we had to figure out, well, who is this person? And for years, we wondered. You know, my grandmother didn't know, and then she passed on. And then it was just a couple of years ago, I did an internet search on the names in this book just for fun. And it actually popped up a reference. It was a 1913 reference of the history of Calhoun County that mentioned the family history. And through that, I found out one ancestor, Nathaniel Wallace, was an aide to George Washington in the Revolutionary War. And the other grandfather, Benjamin Hale, he was the origin of most of the remedies in the book. And so it mentioned Benjamin and then Jerome and Lucy Hale, and then Wallace Hale, who apparently compiled the, you know, the book itself and wrote all these things down. And so... I had to, you know, and so then mentioned Walter Hale, who was Wallace's brother, and his descendants. And then I got the name of his son and grandson out of this reference. Well, I found the grandson in the 1940 reference, the census, and he had two sons, and there was one. One of those sons had a telephone number, so I called him up.
And what was that conversation like?
Well, I told him, well, was your dad's name Orville? And then he said, yes. And then your grandfather, Frederick? What about your great-grandfather, Walter? Your great-great-grandfather, Jerome? And your great-great-great-grandfather, Benjamin? He said, how do you know that? Well, I think I've got a piece of your family history here. And he said, well, I think you need to talk to my sister, Lois, who's a family historian. And it turned out she actually has another book that's quite similar to this. And the book that I have actually mentions that book. So it was quite an interesting conversation. I learned that... Dr. Wallace Hale was a doctor in Ashley, Michigan, a little town up north of where I live. But and so I'm all friends on Facebook with all the Hale family. But then the question was, well, how did that end up in our hands? And then this lumber baron's house, my Uncle Elmer, my great-great Uncle Elmer, my grandmother inherited that house from him, and we use it as a vacation property. But and so the mystery continued until I figured out that Uncle Elmer's had a farm down by Albion, which was next to the farm that the Hale family had. So the theory I have is that he borrowed the book and never returned it.
I like it. Boy, so interesting to put that puzzle together. What was the toughest part about interpreting the handwriting? And you'd mentioned the code in the beginning, and you think about spelling. It had to have taken you some time to go through this.
Yeah, it did. And a lot of the handwriting was a little bit difficult to read. And some of the, of course, the Webster's Dictionary just was out at that time. So people didn't have that, and it was they would spell things the way that they had found it, you know. So dose was D-O-C-E, and you know, there were a lot of things of that sort that I had to figure out, and some of the ingredients, I looked them all up and made sure that I had the spellings correct so that people understood. Then I would actually make a footnote of what they actually are, and you know, a chemical formula or whatever it is. And it's, but it was a massive work to do this. And then the units of measure were different. You know, there were 12 ounces to the English the pound, and then they had grams, scruples, and grains. And so I detail all out how they all were different in the way that they were in the conversion of the units of measure to what we know today. Nowadays we use metric, but we had 16 ounces to the pound, and they eliminated grams and scruples, apparently.
Wow.
So they all have their own special symbols, and then they, in order to indicate how many, how much it was used in the formula, they had that all in Roman numerals. So it was a little bit pesky to figure this all out.
I bet. To go through that all. Hey, we have just like a minute or so left. What do you hope people take away from reading Dr. Hale's Home Remedy and Recipe Book, a doctor's personal handwritten handbook written between 1844 and 1863? You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away?
Well, I hope that they get a picture of what medicine was like in the time of Darwin and the time of the 1800s, because and how much things are different now. But some of those old remedies still probably are viable, although some of them I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. some were crossed off, and so, well, I guess that one didn't work. The guy died, you know.
Yeah, exactly. How fun. Well, how fun to speak with you, and go and pick up this book and get that slice of history. Douglas Sharp, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you, Kate.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.